Well, I welcome you this morning and trust that we'll have a good day in worshiping the Lord. Let me give, before we worship, let's consider some announcements. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we have our evening service with Bible teacher Raymond Rook from Milton. And I understand from his phone call, he's going to continue his series on the study of the Book of Joel, after which we have our monthly congratulation fellowship, whereby we have fellowship, sing happy birthday and congratulations, and have a refreshment, sit around and talk. That's at 8 o'clock tonight, Wednesday, the Bible study time, after which we have prayer meeting. And I'm closing this book of Colossians, and so I'll probably be finishing out the study of Colossians on Wednesday evening. And then Friday, the 13th, we're planning to, a prison visitation over near Shikshini, that's below Wilkes-Barre, to see some prisoners. That's on Friday. Now then, birthdays. I'm delighted to tell you that yesterday my daughter had a birthday, Julie, and today her husband has a birthday. And then on Saturday, Kathleen Waltz has a birthday. So we have a birthday week here. I'm pleased to report to you that Alan and Julie went to visit Scott Muthler. And I've asked Alan if you might say a few words. We've been praying for this young man. He was in a serious accident up near Jersey Shore, north of Jersey Shore. And I'd like an update, if you would, then. Thank you for going, Julie and Alan. Alan, would you say something concerning Scott, please?
Sure. We went down to see him Friday. He was out of the ICU 24-hour care, and he was moved to the fifth floor where It's not the trauma. It's still around-the-clock care, but not quite as much as the ICU. His leg looked very good, healing nicely. He's breathing on his own. He has a trach in his throat, but he's breathing on his own. They were checking to see if he could eat food on his own. They'd given him a test, and he was awake. And Julie talked to his mother, and she was very thankful for Dad visiting and for the prayers, and thankful for, everything and how things are going. She said he's getting stronger each day, and one small step at a time. They are going to, within a week, move him up to Williamsport for rehabilitation, which his mom's very thankful for that. He's still kind of foggy, she said, but he can understand when you talk to him. He recognizes people, but he's still a little, his mind's still a little jogged from the accident.
Yeah.
The other two gentlemen that were in the accident, the one has been released or is going to be released within the next few days, and the other one had his last surgery, I believe it was Friday, and most likely he'll be out of the hospital within another week or so also.
Well, thank you. I was talking to a farmer, and he said, did you see the picture in the paper of that accident up above Jersey Shore? I said, no, I didn't. He said, it's a wonder that they even lived. It was so bad. Maybe you've seen it. I didn't see it. I looked for it, but didn't see it. Now, I have a few other things concerning along that same line of people who need prayer. We have a letter from Ovid Need. Now, Ovid Need is the pastor of the sponsoring church for a missionary, Joel Serapai. And are to sponsor the church and make sure things are going well with him. And here is a letter from Pastor Ovid Need concerning the breaking of the ankle of Joel Serapai on the ice. Dear friends, this is February the 7th. One of our men checked about Brother Joel's appointment the 10th. That's this week, which he understood to be for surgery on his foot. Well, it turned out that the appointment was only another doctor's appointment, with no attempt to take care of the problem. Before any doctor or hospital would do anything, Brother Joel was going to have a complete payment up front because he's a foreigner. Our man then checked around and found that the Virginia University Medical Center would take care of him, and it is a teaching hospital, and would settle about the finances later, and will probably cover the entire cost. So I picked him and his wife up in Maryland and took them to the Charlottesville, Virginia hospital. And after his x-rays, they found that he had the worst kind of break one could have in the ankle. Three bones broken, and they placed some plates in his ankle Friday night. That's the last Friday night. And plan to release him this afternoon. Please pray that he will have a complete recovery. His primary ministry is in the mountains in India, which require a great deal of walking. He will be at the address I gave you previously in the Gaithersburg, Maryland. His address with his wife is Joel Serapolli, 531 Summit Hill Road, Gaithersburg, Maryland. And by his sovereign grace alone, Brother Need. And in our congregational prayer, let us remember him and Scott in prayer. Oh, by the way, if you would like to read a good message, take one along. This is concerning Spurgeon. They sent them to us. And it's called Faint But Not Faint-Hearted. You would find it encouraging. Now then, with the announcements, let us enter into worship. And this morning I'd like us to consider this subject in the closing part of Colossians in chapter 4 about the matter of of a team and a verbal photograph. And so it has to do with teamwork. And so would you join with me, please, in singing hymn number 310, Here, O My Lord, I See Thee Face to Face.
Thank you.
the matter of serving the Lord Jesus is to trust him and obey him. And so may we sing hymn number 700. Now let us pray. Our Father, we are delighted this morning that you have watched over us this past week and have taken care of us and sustained us. Thank you. We pray this morning that as you've given us this opportunity and by the process of providence brought us together, we pray that you will be pleased in our worship. Help us that we might center our attention upon thyself, the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit of God in our midst. Help us to put aside those things of the past week and perhaps the plans for the new week. Help us to submit to your will and not to ours. And our Father, we're grateful for your blessings to us especially, arranging for us not only to have physical life but spiritual life, eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven, God himself, and he took our place. He lived and proved that he was indeed the Son of God, God himself, God in the flesh. And our Father, he took our place at the Calvary cross, shed his precious blood, and that we might have forgiveness, and that we might enjoy eternal life, and thank you for salvation. Look upon us this morning, each of us, that we might know what it is to be born from above, to have our sins forgiven, and have blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And then our Father, this morning, we confess that there are areas that we just don't know. There are areas that we need help. There's this matter of the old nature which crops up in our lives, even those of us who are born again. And the old nature seems to want to fight its way back. We pray for victory. We pray for strength. We prayed for renewal, even as this morning, as we worship thee and sing these hymns and study your precious word, that we'll be strengthened in the faith. And then, our Father, we're grateful for the privilege of petitioning you for these different individuals. We would ask this morning, especially for Scott Muffler. Thank you for helping him. Thank you for giving parents that love him and are concerned about him. And our Father, we're asking that you would look upon him and continue to bring about healing, bring about not only his recovery, but, Father, for his salvation, forgiveness of sins, and then as a young man, dedicated, committed to live for you in part of Christ's kingdom. And then, our Father, we pray for Brother Joel and perhaps the anxiety of his heart, having now been put aside, and having all of his plans be shoved away for the moment. We pray for Brother Joel. We especially ask for wisdom and healing for his ankle. And as it is brought to our attention, the necessity of walking in the ministry that you've called him to, we pray that you would encourage him and that you would strengthen him, and for his wife also, and for those boys back home in India. We pray for them, your care over them. And so, Lord, we lift up Joel. We ask for your best for him. And our Father, if there's anything he needs to learn, we pray you'd help him to learn. We ask for graciousness towards him. And now, our Father, we also would pray that you would look upon us this morning for those who would be here normally but are away and will be traveling by air from Texas. We pray for the Van Sants. We are desirous of safety for them. We pray that this day will be also a blessing to them. And now, as we have asked you to look upon us individually and collectively as a church, we pray for your will in the name of Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like us to sing another hymn before we open the scripture, and that is a hymn of commitment, is Have Thine Own Way, Lord, 574.
Please turn, will you, to Colossians, the last chapter and the last verses, as we are attempting to conclude the study of this book.
And now that's Colossians, chapter 4, please, verses 7 through 18. I've entitled the message this morning, The New Testament Church Planning Team. And you have a kind of a funny looking thing up on the board here, but I'm not an artist, and so I just put down some stick figures of these men who are a part of the team. Now, if I were back there and had my camera, I'd take a picture for you so you could see these fellas. But I didn't. I'm not back there, but I... There is a verbal photograph here, I believe, and so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a verbal photograph. Because normally, when you come to an end of a book like this and you hear, greet so-and-so, do so-and-so, this so-and-so, you say, I'm not interested, because what does it apply to me? You'll find this book, in the closing, it has a lot of application for you and for me. And so as Paul has... And by the way, this book of Colossians has been a real theological book, in case you didn't know it. A strong theological book. And now we had the application previously. First you give doctrine, and then application, and then salutations. And so we start in verse 7. He's saying, all my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. He's the first one on the photograph. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. Now with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that he may that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of Laodicea, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea unto Archicus, or as we call Archippus. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. This be the word of God, friends, and so may we give due attention to it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are. Looking at a conclusion to this book. And today we look as a church, what are some better methods? Man, if we had some methods, we could really, really stack this place out. Let's get some good methods here. I'll tell you what this is saying to me in the conclusion. You don't need special and better methods. You just need better men. Now, I'm grateful for you fellas. When I say men, I mean you ladies too, people. Better people, what makes a church, not better methods. And so that's what he's saying here. Now, I hope I can prove it. And you know what, people? We're imperfect. Did you know that you're imperfect? And we're imperfect, and we're just a bunch of people. And these people that I read about here are like us. You might be surprised when you find out what these fellows were like. I was shocked almost. There we have transformed criminals involved here, failures, and we have people who are professional, and those who are just hospitable, and those who have, shall I say, betrayed the Apostle Paul. Quite interesting. Now, today's newspaper has to the letters to the editor, and it's hardly legible, but I will try to read something. You have listened to the news, haven't you? They're closing down church buildings. Now, friends, you know a church is people, and people who have come to know Christ. It's not the buildings. But we're so accustomed in our society when you say, well, that's church so-and-so. But if you've been listening to the news, you know that there's been a lot of closures. Not only Catholics, but Protestants in our area, and as well as in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. So, here's a letter to the editor by a man by the name of Joe Pearson. I don't know Joe, but I will read what he said. In regards to the churches closing in the area, I don't think the question is what church do I belong to or what is going to happen to my church. The question should be this. Why do I go to church in the first place? Is it just to socialize? Is it just to make a statement? Or does going to my church simply make me feel better about myself? Or do I come to the Lord's house to worship and honor him? Well, that's pretty good. Now, it's only a question that you can answer for yourself. Imagine what would happen if this country turned back to God. Imagine what would happen if we asked for God's wisdom and guidance instead of telling ourselves, this is the way we're going to do it. And I don't care who gets hurt. All the greed at Wall Street would be a thing of the past. Love thy neighbor would not be a novel idea, but a way of life. Imagine young people being respected, respectful students in the school because they were taught to honor their mother and the father by a mother and a father who stayed married to each other because they honored marriage by keeping the promise to God no matter what. This family will not be undone. God declared in 1 Samuel 2, chapter 2, verse 30, those who honor me, I will honor. It's time to do just that. Honor God by helping a neighbor. Honor God by being a parent to your child. Honor God by loving your spouse. Honor God by giving of your time and your talents and your money. Honor God by giving thanks to him for all that we have. God bless this nation for so long because we ask for his guidance and blessing. But when we take God out of the schools, and when it becomes almost illegal to pray or even to say the word of God in public, do I dare to say Jesus? It's no wonder our churches are becoming so empty. They are forced to close the doors. When we forget about God, why have a church anyway? It's no longer becomes the Lord's house, but it's just a building we did to meet in. Only when this nation sees the need to honor God again and again, and then act upon it, will God again honor us. And when this happens, we will, of course, have to face a new problem. What will we do when there suddenly becomes a shortage of churches, he's talking about buildings, for everyone to worship our Lord? One can only imagine, Joe Pearson. You say, well, some of that I don't care for. So, but be a seed picker and say, well, you know, we're getting pretty smart in our own minds about things. Does this have any application? Does that part of a Bible book in the Bible seem boring? Why you want to read that last part at first? There's nothing there that'll help us. Oh, but I do think there is. And so I think that I'll describe it if I can. A verbal photo if I can do it. Now, I was asked to do this. I wanted to go slow and take each of these individuals and talk about them. But it said, give us a picture, overall picture, before you do anything like that. And well, maybe this will be all I will do. And so God wants us to be fellow laborers in this world. God needs you. God needs each one of us. And so here's a description of a team. And I will say this. Maybe it is a second string team. Other inclined to think that it isn't. Maybe it is a fourth quarter. Everybody knows about fourth quarters. Even the game last Lord's Day, between the Cardinals and the Steelers, that fourth quarter. I want to tell you something about fourth quarters. They are very important. But don't forget the first and the second and the third quarter, and that makes for momentum for the fourth quarter. We may be in the fourth quarter as far as the church. I do not know. But let's stay with it, because it's important that we do what is right to come out victorious. What a glorious end it was. I even heard women talk about the football team, the game. You say, well, where are you? What society? There was a time women didn't even bother with football, but when women talk about it, I think that's really amazing. Let's talk about the church. And let's get excited about the church a little bit. And not just say, well, so what? No, no, no. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about us, how we our life is determines how these things are going to work out. And I like here very much his first one in verse 7. The team on the left, first picture on the left. It is word Tychius. And he said, you know, all my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant of the Lord. Let's take a look at him a little bit. He said, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. I like to have Tychiuses around, don't you? Yes, sir. First of all, there's affection. We spent time about brother love, using that first part in a past message, and that is beloved brother, an affectionate, a close friend of Paul, the great apostle. And we find that he's what we might call a mail carrier, or a delivery man. Oh, really? Yes. He's carrying with him. Paul's saying, you go to Colossae. Take this letter along, because that's what epistle is. It's just a letter. Take this letter to the church at Colossae, because we know they have their problems, and maybe I can be a help. And then while you're going at it, drop one off at Ephesus, will you? And perhaps also this letter give to Philemon about his return, born-again runaway slave that wants to come back to home. And so here he is. And I like that. I can just see Onesimus. You're going to read about him next in verse 9. I can just see that runaway slave walk back into the house of Philemon and said, here I am. Now, runaway slaves were killed. Yes, sir. That taught the others not to do the same. We know a little bit about that in American history, don't we? A little bit? So, listen. You needed somebody to kind of mediate for him. That is Onesimus. You say, well, we're talking about Tychius. I know, but Tychius was kind of a legal counselor to show Philemon. By the way, the church met in Philemon's house. And so he sent Tychius to go there and speak up for Onesimus, which we'll look at in a few minutes. But this Tychius, he was used as an interim pastor for, of all the great preachers, Titus. And then the Lord said in another place, or Paul said in another place by the Spirit of the Lord, he said, Titus, I want you to come and spend some time with me. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send Tychius there, and he'll be your interim pastor while you come visit me. Who is this guy? What's his credentials? I don't hear any credentials. What school did he go to? I don't even hear that. I just hear that he loves the Lord. He belongs to the church at Colossae. He says there he's of your own, and he's a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and whom I have sent on to you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. He'll comfort. Isn't it nice that when there are people that when they come around, they just have a way, and it's just nice to have them, and they just kind of make the day happier. They're not, they're people that really love the Lord, and it's just nice and cheerful. Brethren, we need that kind of team. And you say, well, take what you have. No, no, no. We need to improve, dear friends. We're imperfect. And you say, just because he's an old man doesn't mean, an old woman, that doesn't mean that he stop. We continue on. We're in the fourth quarter, perhaps. And we need to really get at these things and not just say, well, so what? No! You dare do it that way. I hope you have not come to church this morning just to say, well, so what does he have to hear? But that we're here to worship God, please God, listen to his word and apply the word. Be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so, we find that here he is, and he's kind of one of these fellows that he's taking care of Paul and loves him and a sidekick to the Apostle Paul. And then we have the second fellow, next fellow, and I put his initial in there, Onesimus, just so you can in your mind think of a photograph. Over here's the coach, by the way, Paul. But listen, what about Onesimus? What do I care about Onesimus? You better listen to him. A whole book was written about his coming back to his owner, slave owner, the book of Philemon. It's a beautiful letter. Say, if you just want to read something that's really nice, just kind of cheer you up in just a few minutes. It doesn't take long to read it. You ought to take a little time in your busy schedule just to pull out the Bible and read Philemon, because it has to do with Onesimus. This is, by the way, I want to say, this first fellow, Tychius, I just want to say, he epitomizes to me one who is a faithful servant. You can depend upon him. He's not off again, on again. You can depend upon Tychius. And he's five times his name is mentioned in the Bible. He says, well, why don't you tell us all that? Well, if I'm going to cover all these team members, I don't know if I can spend all the places where Tychius' name is brought, but is very important thought. If your name was in the Bible five times, would you like me to talk about it for a while?
Yeah.
All right. Don't throw this away and say, well, this is just so what. No, no. The next one is talking about a transformed criminal. Where do you get that? Oh, verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Onesimus, now he's faithful. I thought you were saying he was a runaway slave. Yes. Well, it says he's faithful and a beloved brother. And he's one of you. He's from Colossae. And Philemon is his owner. And isn't it strange, the providence of God? He runs away. Miles. Miles and miles away. Comes to a city of 3 million people. Yeah, Rome. At that day, 3 million people that day. And somehow he gets into the presence of the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, oh, you're from Colossae. Well, hey, guess who's here? Epaphras, the founder of the church at Colossae. And they prayed for him. They spoke to him the gospel. And he became a born-again Christian. And he says, you know, God has saved me and I want to do right. And Paul said, that's right, boy. You need to go back to Philemon and see what take the consequences. And so he's a returning. But he calls him a brother in Christ. A what? A transformed criminal. Now, some of the people who are church members are sophisticates. Oh, I don't want any people like that around here. Maybe you'd prefer to have those two judges in Lackawanna County in Wilkesbury area. That's the kind of church member you want. Some people are that way. We don't want any. We know anybody around here that's a transformed criminal. Paul himself was in jail. They're presently writing this. Be careful. Those of us who have, and those of you who participate, by the way, we sent four more Bibles, the Reformation Bibles, and they're expensive, to prisoners at Hunlock Creek, which we're planning to go there Friday. You say, well, that participate. You folk are giving money to missions, and that's what we're using. And by the way, we found out, not everybody that's in jail is really there because he really is a true criminal. I'm getting, as I'm in my old days, to see DNA, and they're saying, oh, so-and-so's been in 20 years, but he's guilty. He's not guilty. He's innocent. Don't just write everything off, and the first thing you see somebody with handcuffs on, well, he deserves it. He must be the criminal. Be careful. That's not even being an American to think that way.
Yeah.
We deserve a trial. Don't be so you're not guilty because he has cuffs on. He has cuffs on there to protect the police more than anything else.
Amen to that.
Anyway, here's a transformed criminal. One of the team members. So there he is. There's this fellow who's a real faithful servant. You could depend on him. Loved, had affection for people. Who's this third fellow from the left to the right, the third one? Well, it says here, it tells us about this, a number of these, starting at verse 10. Aristarchus, he's a fellow prisoner. Salute with you. Oh, he's in jail with you, Paul, yeah. And there's Marcus, that sister son to Barnabas, touching whom he received commandments. If he come unto you, receive them. Well, here's two. And what are they like? Well, let's talk about Aristarchus. See whether we can learn anything from him. Whether we can say, they epitomize something. Maybe I need to pray that God would give me that a spirit of Aristarchus. Now, we find that the Bible tells us in verse 11 that these fellows are Hebrew Christians. Where do you get that? Verse 11. These three, who? Aristarchus, Marcus, and Jesus, which is called Justice. I prefer to call him Justice. What about him? It says, and Jesus, verse 11, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers into the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Here are Jewish Christians. See, it's not only Gentiles that got saved under Paul's ministry, but Jews. And these were Jews that got saved. And so we have this fellow by the name of Aristarchus, and he traveled with Paul. He was a companion of Paul. And he's in prison with Paul, a fellow. You say, well, what's so good about that? Listen, if you gave up your home, and if you were to give up your employment, and maybe even say, I'm going to leave my family a while. Some of you guys would never, never do that. You'd say, no way. This man, Aristarchus, he stayed right side of the Apostle Paul. Through the storm, that shipwreck, you know, we read about in Acts, he was right there with him all the time, right beside him. What a fellow. And it says, you know about him? He's a fellow prisoner. And he says, hi, you folk at Colossae. He saluted you. And give my regards to you. From he's a beloved one of you. And he says, a fellow prisoner, I should say, salute you. I just want to say this about him. He was an encouragement to Paul. It's nice to have a sidekick. Yeah, it is. Used to see it in the old Western movies. Gene Autry have a sidekick, you know. These great Westerns, they had a sidekick. Kind of funny fellows, but they were sidekicks. And I look at him and say, he's a loyal companion. Stood right beside him, and then he said, who are you? The authority said, he said, well, I'm Aristarchus. Well, what are you? I'm a companion of this man, Paul. Well, if you are, then you'll go to jail too. Put the cuffs on him and throw him into jail too. Guilt by association. And he didn't fight it. Boy, you talk about living for the kingdom of God and for the cause of Christ. Let's put this fellow Aristarchus as a loyal companion. Not only him, but also Justice. I don't see why it's being done more. I know down in South America, Central America, that they call their boys Jesus. Madonna's going now with a man by the name of Jesus. You say, what's that have to do with anything? Well, she's been married how many times and has kids with other men, and now she's gone with Jesus. See, that's a disgrace. That's a disgrace. Well, that's the way the world is. But anyway, that's a side point. But I call him Justice. Paul says that. Doesn't he say that? And verse 11, and Jesus, which is called Justice. Call him Justice. Don't call him Jesus. He's not a savior, for that's what the word Jesus means, savior. And he said, well, they are of their circumcision. These only are my fellow workers into the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. What am I saying here? These are loyal companions, and they're Jewish Christians. And that can happen, friends. People who are Hebrews, they can get saved too. So don't, and, you know, we can say what you say about Hebrews. I have affection for them. I really do. When I was in college, they thought I was a Hebrew. Why? Well, I had a little curly hair. And secondly, my name is Robbins. It sounds to the Jews, Rabbins. Rabbins. It means rabbi. So they come to my door and knock on my door. Hey, how you doing? Come on in. Hey, we're going to talk. They thought I was part of them. And it was kind of an interesting thing, thinking that I was Jewish. But that's all right. That's all right. They found out that I was Protestant, and that I'm not a Protestant, but a believer, and was planning to preach Jesus. That didn't calm it down too much, but it did a little bit, I guarantee you that. Anyway, here we are. What are we talking about? Two guys. Who are they? Aristarchus and Justus. What about them? Well, it says they're loyal companions. Stood right beside the Apostle Paul. Jewish Christians. All right, fine. Now, who else? John Mark. Oh, I heard that about that fella in verse 10. Marcus. John Mark. I know a little bit about John Mark. Do you know a little bit about John Mark? I tell you, he was a failure. He failed. Now, you don't want any failures.
No.
No, not a failure. But he was a failure. You see, John Mark, he caused a rift between Paul and Silas. And he said, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And John Mark deserted them. Yes, he did. This is the truth. This is from the scriptures. And so there is this, the fact that he was a failure. Now, what are you going to do with failures? Yeah, shun them. We don't want any, we don't want any phonies around here, failures. We want successful people. Ah, but now what happened to John Mark? He came back. There's forgiveness. He came back. Did you ever hear the Gospel of Mark? Huh? Did you ever hear the Gospel of Mark? John Mark is a God used him to write the Gospel of Mark. I tell you, I have that kind of guy around town anytime, if you don't mind. He's a failure, he's a former failure, but God has worked in his life. And listen, brethren, just because you made some mistakes, who hasn't? You have, if not in word or in deed, in thought, you've made some bad mistakes too. And you know what? God can take care of failures. You messed up. It's encouragement. John Mark. An encouragement to me. Anytime you get down the mountain and say, hey, I don't see how God can use me, and you know, and the devil puts it on you. Say, I want to tell you something. John Mark, you old devil, and what God used him in a great way. Well, let's go on if we're going to get through this photo by the time it's time to eat lunch. What about it? Well, we find that the companions, the former failures, we looked at faithful servants, transformed criminals, former failures. Now we're looking at, we looked at loyal companions. And then let's talk about Epaphras. Now I like to use this pronouncing Epaphras, but Epaphras is probably the more correct way to pronounce that. But in verses 12 and 13, we're going to talk about Epaphras? Yes. What does it say about him? Well, Epaphras, he's one of you. What? He's one of you Colossians. Oh, okay. He's a servant of Christ. Stood with you. Oh, he's with you in the prison. Paul's in prison writing this epistle to the church of Colossae. He's in bonds because it tells you there in the last verse, in case you think I'm reading into the scripture. He said, remember my bonds. They're the last part. He's in jail. He's in bonds. And he said, here's Epaphras. And he's one of you. He's a servant of Christ. And he tell you what? He saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Oh, we could spend a little talk about prayers here. You know, we got a model in 2009. Keep praying in mind. See it? Praying. How important is it? Well, Epaphras, He was the founder, we believe, the church at Colossae. Well, what are you doing down there all that way from home? Because they had problems. There were cults like we have cults. And they had heresies coming in. And they didn't say they went to any school or seminary. And I'm not saying that. I believe we ought to have educated servants of God, but not necessarily, friends. It's the Spirit of God working in hearts. Just because you don't have a college education doesn't mean that you can't serve the Lord, dear friends. I know some great preachers that never went to school. Do you believe that? But they were trained. If you study the Word of God, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and takes it into your heart, and you can retain and you understand the Word of God. You don't have to have a lot of degrees to preach the Word of God, but it's nice to have an educated ministry. I understand that. But here's the point. What about it? His name is Epaphras, verse 12 and 13. Tell me more about him. He said, I'm going to tell you about him. I bear him a record that he hath a great zeal for you. Oh, he has a great zeal for you. And them that are at Laodicea and them that are in Hierapolis. Who is this? Epaphras. He is what? He's a prayer warrior. He's a warrior. He prays. He's the founder of the church at Colossae, but he's really praying. He said, I can witness to you. He's with me, and I'm trying to teach him some of these important things. And he says hi to you. Boy, he is a servant of God, Paul says. And talking at this team member, nice to have somebody says, you know that man right there, Epaphras? See him here in the photo? I'll tell you what, he's a servant of God, and he's one of your members, by the way, and he's saying hi to you. And I want to tell you something. This man prays. What do I care? This man prays. He prays. He said, I see him always. What is he doing? Laboring fervently for you in prayer. Prayers fervently. I wonder what kind of man. What does it mean to be praying fervently? Does that mean you see him always there in his knees? He's praying. Those are praying men. Well, I told you to pray always, be in the attitude of prayer. And what are you praying about, Epaphras? What's your big concern? He says, his concern for the church at Colossae. I pray for the church at Colossae. Could I ask you this? Doesn't hurt, does it? Do you pray for this church? Come on now. Do you pray for the preachers in this church? You pray for the leadership in this church. You pray that God's will be done. Not only do you pray, do you really support this church? I'm telling you, I was given a report from, who gave me that report? Let me think a moment. Oh, Josh Moser. A present up-to-date report about how many churches are started and how many, it's something like 4,000 churches are started every year and 14,000 close every year. I mean, are you praying? Are you giving? You know, I want to deviate here, and I think it's important. I've often said to you, God, the Bible doesn't speak about Lone Ranger Christians. Do you know that? What's a Lone Ranger Christian? Well, God saved me, and that's all I need. I don't need you. I do my thing. I go to church when I feel like it, you know? I read the Bible when I feel like it. I don't have to go to any church to be a Christian. That's true. But I'll tell you one thing. The Bible talks about a family. It talks about a body. I have a body. You have a body. It has different members. You hit that one and that'll hurt. And I have different members of the body. Some are more important than other parts. And we're all together. You get the idea of individuality as an American. Hey, I'm a self-made man, don't you know? I don't need you. You know what I mean? Listen, the Bible doesn't teach that at all.
Army don't teach it either.
That's right. It's collectively. Get it in your head. And that is, we work as a team. In union, there is strength. In onion, there is strength. Listen, come on, brother. Get the picture. Don't be lackadaisical. I mean, if you're going to support it. Your tithe, as the Bible teaches, you give your tithes and to a storehouse. This is a storehouse. I give you the up-to-date news. I'm going to give you up-to-date news now. How up-to-date? Like this past week. What? That two things. That the church is being hurt economically. You say, well, I know that. But do you know it? And secondly, rural churches are losing their pastors. I want you to get that up-to-date news. Country churches are losing their pastors very rapidly. And so we need each other. No more of this Lone Ranger stuff. You get together. You obey those that have authority over you. That is the elders. But you do it in the Bible way. And then what is it? Here we have this man, Ephorus. I tell you, he's a prayer warrior. He had agonizing prayer. But he didn't pray alone. He prayed together. They prayed there together. He wasn't alone. Prayer. He prayed together. He said, we pray, always laboring fervently for you, that you may stand perfect. I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are at Laodicea, and them that are at Hierapolis. I tell you, that's important. What is he praying for? What does this church need that he's praying fervently, agonizing over the church of Colossae? The prayer he's praying for, that they may be mature, that they be strong. Do you want a Mickey Mouse church and just hoop-de-doo and entertainment? Or do you want a church that your children are taught the Word of God and in the Word of God to be strong in the Word of God? Do you want to be strong in the things of God? He's praying that they be a strong church, that they be mature. And he's agonizing for them. You agonize for this place? Do you talk about people? Tell them about the Lord Jesus? Tell them they'd come hear the Word of God?
Yeah.
What's wrong? You're not a very good team member. You don't know that you're in the fourth quarter either. You think everything's going to be all right. As long as I'm there, as long as I give up money, that's all that's necessary. No, no. The Great Commission is for all of us. And he said, I'm to go and I'm to talk and I'm to preach about the Lord Jesus. And that just wasn't for preachers. Isn't that strange? That's for all of us. The Great Commission in Matthew. Well, I'm not going to go on to that, but I'd have you to see. Where are we? Well, let's talk about this one and everything. Everybody think it's just great. They got a professional. Whoopee, a professional. Where do you find that in verse 14? Oh, Dr. Luke. Oh, that beloved physician. But there's also Demas. They greet you. Let me tell you something. If you think doctors, for the most part, are people that can almost walk in water, I got to tell you something. In this day, doctors, for the most part, wasn't for the money part. They were mostly slaves. Do you have that right? Yes, I have that right. For the most part, doctors in this day, they were from slaves. You see, they were taught. That's why in America we stopped teaching the slaves. You know why? He got too smart. Yeah, come on. They did. And many of the slaves are preachers. Preach to the masters if you had the right attitude. And there was some right attitude. But they stopped teaching the slaves because they didn't want them to get too smart. And you know the rest of the story. But Dr. Luke, oh, beloved physician. Isn't that something? Hey, Doc, what are you traveling with? A guy like him, he's in jail most of the time, Doc. What are you going to do with him? Paul had some infirmities. Isn't that good of God? He said, here's a man. And he stayed with him. Took care of him. Wow. A professional team member? Huh? Woo, that's just something, boy. Wow. There he is. He's a doctor. Don't give up on the doc. They have souls. They need to be saved. Oh, sure, money's a big thing, and some of them are real help. But mostly they're pill pushers.
Aye.
And you know, the man who invented the pill, ladies, he said, I'm sorry that I did it because there's so a shortage of children. Is that news? That's news. The man who invented the pill has said he's very sorry because there's such a shortage of children. Who's going to pay after a while? Hey, who's going to pay? Well, I did my thing. Yeah, but how about your grandkids? How about your great grandkids? You love them? Don't get so high and mighty. And as my son says, be careful that you don't have to think that you have to live on the government teat. Some of us think that I just have to have the government teat. No, be careful. Be careful. Let's follow the Lord. Let's do what we can, dear friends. And you know, we're all led a little differently. But here he is. What about Luke? Well, so he's a doctor. What do I care? I want to tell you something more about Luke. Did you ever hear of the gospel of the Acts of the Apostles?
Yeah.
He's the writer. Oh, is that right? That's interesting. He wrote the... And do you know anything about the gospel of Luke? Oh, there's a gospel called Luke? Yes. Well, I thought you said he was a physician. Well, he's not only a physician, he was one who wrote, God used him to write these two great books in the Bible, the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. And they were long works. Oh, what a team member he'd make. Take a look at him before you go home, will you? And then what about these other few here? Like what, in verse 15 and 16? 17. Well, very quickly. Salute the brethren which are at Laodicea and Nymphis. The church is in his house. Do any of you have a Bible that says her house? Huh? Anybody says her house? Well, it really is in the Greek, really what it is. But we prefer that it's Nymphis. What about Nymphis? Well, he was a team member. What about him? Well, we do know something about him, that the church met in his house. Probably at Laodicea. Oh, well, then he must be a hospitable guy. Yeah. It's nice to have church of people that are hospitable.
Yeah.
Huh? Are you hospitable?
Yeah. Very few are.
Oh, well. Anyway, he's in the house church. I like to talk about house churches. I believe that's the Bible way. When it gets too big, well, you can go somewhere else and start another work. Don't worry about a house church. Because if you think that there's no problem with churches closing, it's basically, how are they going to heat these places? How are they going to pay the mortgages? You said the economy's hitting the church. How are they going to do this thing? They shut down. That's what you do. The bank forecloses. Don't you know enough of business? Yeah. And if you have it, how do you heat it? How do you cool it? Especially if you're down in the southern part of the country where it really gets hot and it has these big cathedrals. You know, it wasn't until, around, 300 or 400 years after the Lord Jesus here that they had places called what we call churches. Well, a church is, that's a building that we have. That's not really what the Bible talks about. Church is people who've been born again, who've been called out of the system, and they meet together. They can meet in the barn. They can meet out under the trees, and there be a church. But when you and I say, oh, that's a church there. Don't you see that church there? Theologically, we're not right. And so, but I want to say this. He had a house. Philemon's house was also where he met. And I think that's what we need to do. And so here we have Nymphis, and we have Archippus. Archippus in verse 17. What about Archippus? What is he doing on the team? And you say to Archippus, okay, take heed of the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Oh, Archippus, you're the preacher there. Yes! You tell Archippus, he's part of the team too, and he's there, and you tell him what? You tell him to take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Do your job, Archippus. In Philemon's house, they met, and while Epaphras was away with Paul, I believe Archippus was the pastor. And then we have Demas. I wish I didn't have to close with that. Now you're going to tell us something that isn't good. I can just tell by the way you act. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. What about it? Demas, he greets you. Well, that's encouraging. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something about Demas. Boy, he wasn't really a good team member. Well, You have money, huh? What do you mean he wasn't a good team member? You see, Demas, he started out with a big bang. Whoa, boy, did he started out, I mean, a ball of fire. And but he didn't finish well, according to the Bible. Well, it says here is our, but I have to have you turn to 2 Timothy 4:10. Can you prove that? What are you trying to say to us? I'm trying to tell you, here's a fellow who is a, well, I don't know how to put it. I guess I'd call him a Judas. A Judas. That's awful to say about a man. A Judas, I would say he's really a deserter. A real deserter. 2 Timothy 4, and look at verse 10. This is written afterwards. After, I understand, after Colossians. And what does it say about this chap? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Can't you start to cry? Started out great, and is departed unto Thessalonica, crashes into Galatia, and Titus into Dalmatia. Tell me about Demas. He has forsaken me. Why? Did you do something unkind to him? No. He just loved this present world. Well, at least he got his picture on the photo here in Colossians. At least he got a picture there. But it didn't turn out right. When Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, he talks about a parable about they're going to build a great tower. Yep, going to build his tower. And he said, you know, before you build, you better plan that you're going to be able to finish it. Now, some people start out with the big bags and say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy a farm, $800,000 farm. I'm going to do this and do this and do this and do this. Firecracker. It's tough. You don't want to be a firecracker, do you? Pray for yourself. Let's pray for one another. And he had a great young fellow. My heart just goes out when I read about Demas. There he is on the photo. And yet I find that the end is not good. I don't want that to happen to you. And so I'm just saying to you that this is saying to us. Look at verse 18. This is 18. And the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. I can hear the chains rattle. He says, grace be with you. Amen. And he was released. And he did some other writings, Paul did. But he found himself back in jail again, the great apostle Paul. That's coach. God used him as a coach. Terrific picture. And I know there's flunkies, but I understand this. I want to tell you this. Where do you stand? Where do you put yourself? Do you put yourself with the one who is really faithful? I stick by thick and thin. Are you a person that has a background that's not very good, but God saved you? Don't you give up. Are you one of these persons that you've really flunked out? You're a failure? Like John Mark, you really messed up it, but yet God picked him up and used him in a great way. Are you like the loyal companions who were the Hebrew Christians in Asia? They were loyal, and they encouraged Paul and Articus. He went right away where Paul went, and they went to jail. And he said, who are you? You go to jail too. A real close companion. Are you a loyal companion? Are you a prayer warrior like we have here, Ephorus? Are you perhaps a skilled person? Don't get too sophisticated and think that you can't meet with a small bunch of people. Oh, we need professionals too. Are you hospitable like Nymphas? I hope you won't take Demas as one that we should imitate. Well, that's just the bird's eye view, and I could talk more about it. But I think what we'll do, we'll close that for this morning. But I'd like us to sing a hymn. Would you sing a hymn with me that might have some application? and it's hymn number 713. Could you say, Lord, I'm yours, your will not mine be done, 713.
Stanza.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I stand, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
Our Father, as we've given ourselves to these minutes and to have sung these hymns, and as we've offered petition and prayer and adoration and confession, receive our worship this morning. May thy precious word be part of us. May we be encouraged. May we see that we are needed as individuals collectively, as a body, as a family. May there be increase. And may we desire to give the gospel of our Lord Jesus, that he came, and that he came for the intent purpose to seek us and to save us. And he did at the cross of Calvary, was buried, rose again the third day, and ascended into heaven, sits at your right place of honor, making intercession. Thank you, God, for a Savior like Jesus. And so may the Spirit of God continue to work in our hearts. And now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Let us take a few moments of quietness as the postlude is played, and then we'll have some input or some questions.
Thank you.
Well, we have, as a custom, to have any input that may be on your heart, or ask any questions. If it gets theological, we have decided that the deacons or the elders meet together and solve theological problems. So we won't deal with theological problems of any depth, but perhaps you have some input or some questions.
You mentioned Demas. It reminds of the hymn about that speaks of the church with the false sons in her pale. There are people that have their own self-interest and their own ulterior motives that sometimes infiltrate the church.
Isn't it the truth, though, in these last days, brother, as you're studying the last days, that there'll be an increase of false prophets? And evil men shall wax worse and worse. Yes, we need to be prayerful and ask for wisdom about, because some people sound good, look good, but as far as the Word of God,